That's right. It's time for the Education Watchdog here on the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. And you hear those dogs, you know, that's what it's time for here. Before we get started here, we have Butch Santacola here in studio, but we do need to send some thanks out to AFGE as well as the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO for all the support for our programming and all our shows here on the Union Edge, including the Education Watchdog. Butch, thanks for coming in today.
I can't tell you how happy I am to be here today.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
There's so much going on out there. It's just unbelievable.
Well, that is for certain. That is for certain.
You and I chatted last week about on the outskirts of some of these things. But I've talked to numbers of teachers last week, and I'm going to tell you something. Nobody's excited about the start of school right now. Think about it for a second. We have a national catastrophe on our hands, basically. The civil rights action alone. How do you go into a classroom, especially upper grades? How do you go into a classroom? How do you go to teach and not have some discussion about what's going on? And yet the school's going to frown upon that, I think. It's my own opinion. I have to talk to ex-administrator, retired administrator, not okay. Ex, but he said, oh my gosh, this is going to be unbelievable. And it's starting right at the beginning of the year. That's the thing. Right at the beginning of the year, we have an issue on our hands.
That's right.
It usually comes later on in the year. At least let's get started, peacefully.
You have to jump right in. And, you know, I guess, too, it's a question of, do you have time to talk about it when you're too busy teaching to the test, right?
Oh, yeah, you don't have to do that anymore, though.
No. Oh, we're getting some relief in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, in Pennsylvania, there has been some relief, thanks to Governor Wolf and some other people of sense. There has been a change. So, but I just don't know. What do you do in the high school level or the junior high level? I was with a couple, fortunately I have grandkids in all levels, and I happen to sit and listen to their discussion. God bless them. I don't think they have any clue what's going on and how it's going to impact them. You know, it's just...
In terms of what impact?
The future. I'm talking about the military.
Overall.
I'm talking about taxes. I'm talking about education, availability, jobs, everything.
And
maybe today's my day of doom. Every once in a while, you feel that way. But I'm telling you, it's just, I said to my wife the other day, I said, what in the world is going on here? I taught, let me take you back why I feel this way. I taught in the 60s in Aliquippa. And okay. I finished 1 year with a 6'6" cop, police officer, outside my room. And we finished at the end of the year, and I had three kids in my class that came to school. The parents felt comfortable in sending them. It was a turmoil, just tremendous turmoil. I was involved in that because I was president of the teachers union, and I was right in the middle of it, and I sensed it was unbelievable. And I see it starting all over again, the anti-black, the anti-white, the white supremacists, which should always be wiped out of here, always. I see it happening. I just don't know where it's going to end. And how do you open schools with this contract? You know, think of this. You're a history teacher.
Yes.
And you have a curriculum that talks about the Civil War.
That's right.
And now it's not there. I mean, if you talk about it, you might get in trouble. If you talk about it, you might create a controversy. You talk about it and you try to teach it, you might get in trouble.
Well, and two, we unfortunately have two problems that history teachers face, and that one, they are saddled with these textbooks unfortunately teach bad history. Or mythology in some cases, instead of real history of what actually has been going on with average people in this country. And then you also have a public history with monuments like these Confederate monuments, which are telling, again, a different history, a wrong history, or twisted history of what's happened in this country. So what were these kids supposed to think? They get the public history telling one thing, the textbook telling you something else. They have the teacher who's caught between. I mean,
it's going to be tough. You know, for example, Gettysburg.
Okay.
Everybody knows about that.
Sure.
I heard on the news the other day, somebody was talking about it. There are 1,300 statues in Gettysburg, 30 of them of Confederate statues. Now, that's always been a trip. Kids have looked forward to that trip to Gettysburg for absolute decades.
Sure.
I mean, they go there. Everybody's school.
I've never been, actually, myself.
Oh, I got to take you there. I'll tell you what. We'll go sometime because I spent like... 30 summers there, like 1 week of summer. So
okay.
That's like getting a master's degree.
Of course.
So,
But you said 1,300 statues.
That's my understanding.
Okay, and how many? You said
30. 30, 35 are Confederate.
Okay.
So what are they going to do? I mean, that place is going to be in turmoil. I believe will be in turmoil. I think they're trying to figure out how to handle that. But think you're a teacher now. You have a curriculum that's been going on for years. It's absolutely fantastic. And here, all of a sudden, you have this conflict. And you turn on, you can't turn on, well, you can turn on current events. You're going to get the opinions of the president. You're going to get the opinions of this person, that person. It's going to be a mess. I wouldn't want to be a social studies. For the first time in my life, I wouldn't want to be a social studies teacher. I taught fifth and sixth grade. I was in the elementary level, and it was back in the 60s. It was bad. But now we're here. Oh, my gosh.
Both challenging periods in terms of the impact on current events in the world, on what's taking place in the classroom.
And back in those days, it was not much different than today. You had the same feelings, and you had to understand it was very difficult for some of the people, the white community, to understand some of the conflicts. And I had a fortune. I had a teacher across the hall from me. I forever thank her. She taught me how to deal. I came from a basically pretty white school district, Oakmont School District. That's where I grew up.
Okay.
And I wanted to change the world. I want to change. So I ended up in Aliquippa. Of course, my wife was from there. And I had a fabulous teacher, Cecil Fields, across the hall from me, who really taught me a lot about dealing with the black community, because I really had no experience in it. And I'll tell you what, that Charlottesville thing just shocked me. I have family down there.
Okay.
And I talked to my brother right away, or my niece and nephew safe down there. And they were, but I mean, it's scary. It's just a scary thought. You see those films. The recordings, it's scary. And I don't know how the schools are going to deal with it. And there hasn't been a lot of talk about that yet. I think the education watchdogs, one of the first ones to talk about it. It's a curriculum issue.
Well, I think we can take heart that there are a lot of experienced, skilled teachers out there.
Oh, yes.
That are going to be doing, in the face of this challenge, they're going to be doing their very best to handle it in an appropriate way and make sure that their students have the opportunity to get some better understanding of what's going on in the world around them.
Absolutely. And we're lucky to have those quality teachers out there. But every day I turn on, I try to watch the right news station for the right news and so forth. That's getting very difficult. But
well, that's an adventure right there.
Oh, yeah, it is.
On, but go on.
Yeah, to maneuver through the ins and outs and who's on whose case, who's on what case. And it's every day. Every day, the president speaks here, and he has one position. But the president speaks the next day, he has another position, conciliatory, and then anger, and it's just going to explode. One advantage we have in education, I think the whole community, the whole country has, is that if something happens, you're at least going to have the kids in a classroom, where there are going to be some supervision. Now, some people may not look at that, but I'm going to look at that. If there's students there with some semblance of order, and there's something they're going to be a lot safer, and they'll have a lot better understanding than any place else. But what are we going to do with the young kids? These young kids coming in, they have no. They're coming with their little.
Are you talking like elementary?
Yeah,
like
I'm just surprised. I, God forbid. I hope everything goes okay. I really do. But we're looking at a country right now that's in disarray. I mean, look at the Washington. The government isn't functioning. Look at Pennsylvania, or my home state, Pennsylvania. Here we have a budget that's nobody knows. Where are they going to get the money?
Don't have one.
They don't have one.
Not
that's
really.
Right. They adopted it, but they don't have one.
Not really.
In Pennsylvania, we don't know what's going to happen with the education funding. We have a pretty good idea, but it comes time to balance that. But when they really need the money, I have a sinking suspicion, that they're going to hit the education funding. And we've never been in this kind of situation beginning of schools before. Then on top of that, here in Pennsylvania, I'm sure across the country, you have situations where districts are not settled with contracts. Let's add that to the mix. You have several districts right here in the Pittsburgh area that have set strike dates because there's no settlement, or they're in the final stages of fact-finding, or some form of the bargaining is not going well. That's just Pennsylvania. I've called in some of my former colleagues, brothers and sisters in the battle, to find out exactly what's going on. And the reports aren't that great.
Coming from outside of Pennsylvania.
Not only just outside of Pennsylvania, outside of the Pittsburgh area and outside of Pennsylvania. Now, I think the unions don't like to talk about that. They don't want it out there. They don't want to be harbors of bad news. They don't want to be people that raise the charge every once in a while.
Sure, I understand.
And
yeah.
They're hoping, and I think I'm hoping for them too. I got my fingers crossed that those problems are going to be resolved. Now, last week we were here, and within the last 10 days, I think Keystone Oak settled, Ambridge settled. That's because of the process and because of the commitment of the people at the table. But there's some districts that are out there right now that are unsettled. That's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens.
Okay. Well, we'll talk more about that and much more when we come back. We do need to take a break.
Okay.
So we are in the midst of the Education Watchdog here on the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio. This is Nathan Morgel sitting in here with the Butch Santacola. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison? Why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopRex.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Attention men, under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing.
Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is Nathan Ruggles here with you today on the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio, and the Education Watchdog is barking loud here in the studio. We have Butch Santacola here with me. Butch, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, hey, it's Nathan. I can't tell you how happy I'm here, and I forgot to thank the ladies back here, for my sisters, for feeding those dogs and keeping them running. Angela and Brittany, thank you much.
Angela running the boards here for us today.
Yeah.
So before the break, we were talking about these, you know, big issues, national issues impacting the classroom and teachers having to face these challenges of with students coming in with the questions. And but we've got a lot of other things going on.
Oh, you know, there's tons of
election coming up.
Well, you got
year.
Big elections coming in 2018, yeah. And people are getting ready now. For example, Tim Murphy, who everybody loves, he's a handsome guy, sharp, you know, dresses well. He needs to be replaced.
So it's not enough to dress well?
No, heavens no. That's, look at us. It's not enough to dress well. I have my Union Ed shirt on today. I just think these guys, we have to be serious about this time. You just can't put up a token, effort. That's why I'm jumping on board with Mike Crossey. He's going to hopefully get the primary, the Democratic nomination for him. I think Charles is planning to have him in here sometime.
Well, we've had Mike on before. Yeah. And, of course, you know, the door is open to Murphy if he'd ever want to step in and talk with us as well. But, yes, we've definitely talked to Mike.
Okay, and I want to say again, hey, Betsy DeVos, you're welcome to come on the Education Watchdog anytime. But I don't think she will. Or how about the Union Edge? And anytime from 12 to 3, it's your show, baby.
Absolutely.
Well, anyhow.
It's an open invitation.
Yep, absolutely. Charles and I talked about that many months ago. But she's not going to come out of her little cocoon. She's not going to do that. So, anyhow, we talked about that. Let's go one more minute, Nathan, about the bargaining that's going on.
Okay, yes. I mean,
everybody's, you know, it's going to be difficult. Everybody's very cautious at this point. Let's say you're in a district that might be having a possible display of anger between parents and students and teachers.
Okay.
And you're in a, on top of that, you have a contract to settle.
Okay.
You're then placed in a tough position as a teacher, as a union member, as to what are we going to do? And then you're also placed in a tough position as a board member. Now, there's a district in Allegheny County here that's going through charges have been filed. They've been accused of having a bad atmosphere for Woodland Hills. They just settled an agreement. With all the difficulty going on, they got an agreement in addition to all the problems.
They were still able to power through and make it happen.
Yeah, they made it happen. Now, that's a tribute to both sides.
Certainly.
And it's it can be done. I just hope cooler heads prevail on this. I mean, now you're getting people coming out and saying, you know, about the history. It's just so volatile right now, just so volatile in the schools. I hope they all have a safety net in place, a safety program. And I know if anybody's interested, I have one for them. That's outstanding. I was on as an advisor on that. That's why I think it's outstanding. No,
but well, I would hope so. If you worked on it, that's okay.
But if they're interested, they can get in touch with me. Just papabutch1@comcast.net. Let me repeat that. papabutch1@comcast.net.
Okay, so no one has an excuse for not being able to get a hold of you.
That's absolutely. I'm available 24 hours a day, which happens, by the way. In the middle of the night, I'll get calls. But anyhow, and it rings at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Who is that calling me? And it's a solicitor of some type. Somebody soliciting.
At the 3
o'clock. Oh, unbelievable. Okay. I'm going to be there.
I think, you know, it is really in this environment, budget environment here in Pennsylvania, where that is up in the air in terms of how that's going to come down, it seems that much more important that these local bargaining is successful.
Yeah, there's another issue out there, Nathan. We talked about it on the break a little bit. The Supreme Court has some key decisions coming up that will impact public sector unions, and it's really geared towards the education family, but it's going to impact all the others, I think, public sector unions. The dues deduction, fair share, all those issues are going to be coming up. And it's that will determine the future of the unions, I think, in the public sector. They will survive, and they will come back very strong, but it's going to be a little bump that they got to go through if it passes. If the Supreme Court says you can't have dues deduction or you can't do fair share, it's going to be a problem. And does that mean also on that fair share, you can't have, the employers don't have to do it? Does that mean they take away the United Way contributions? You know, all those things.
Well, let's talk to us about what dues deduction and fair share means.
Fair share means
what it means for union workers. Okay. What it really means in terms of being successful.
In Pennsylvania, there's no union shop. There's no closed shop. You have an opportunity to belong to a union. Let's say the Education Association. They charge X number of dollars for membership. You have a right to belong to that member as a member. But if you don't, you can be charged fair share. Fair share means you will be charged for all the costs involved in administration and bargaining contract. Not some of the things you will not be involved in, you won't get charged for.
Because you're still benefiting.
Oh, yeah.
If
you take the union, take the union contract.
That's right.
You've been working, you pay for what you get.
You're benefiting for everything
that's been built by
that union.
That's one of the issues out there. I don't think it's an unfair proposal, fair share.
Of course not.
If you don't want to belong, don't. Okay? And then because the unions are also required, to represent those people.
That's right.
If they get in trouble somewhere and you have to file a grievance, the union has to represent them. And that's all that means. Okay?
Yeah, no, it's no, absolutely, and it's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah,
if you're benefiting for something, you should pay for it.
It really is, and so it's going to be interesting to see what the Supreme Court does. It will impact the lives of a lot of people because there are a lot of people out there that'll say, you know, it's like life insurance. I don't need life insurance. Well, if you die, you're going to need it.
Well, it's like health insurance. Well,
you
don't need it until it's time to use it. And then you need it. You know you need it. Well, and then there's also the dues deduction, right?
Absolutely. Dues deduction, eliminate dues deduction. In some states where that's been done, in some areas where they've done that, there's been a reduction in membership. Because signing up for checkoff for dues, and, you know, as your comes out of the monthly your paycheck, you don't miss it as much. I mean, you know it's there. You don't miss it. But when you have to write a check or do it by credit card or what, that's a different story. And getting people to sign up have to be approached individually. And I know the unions have something in place on that. And if that happens, Nate, we will get somebody in here to talk to us about that. Guaranteed. Already have it lined up.
Okay. So okay. We'll be keeping an eye on these Supreme Court decisions.
Oh, then. That's coming down soon. I think it's coming down. My guest today was supposed to be from Texas. As I said, they're dealing with a hurricane with 2 feet of water in his basement. I mean, on the apartment.
Well, I guess that's a reasonable excuse.
Well, I think so. I said, can't you get on a plane and get up here or go someplace else? But, you know, we covered a lot of issues today. And I just want to say that the most important one to me personally is the civil unrest right now. I think it impacts not just education, but everything. Your safety. Every time you pick up the paper, there's some issue out there now. You turn on the radio, there's some issue out there now. And I think it's going to filter into the schools. Now, we're just at the beginning now, all across the country, school's beginning. The first couple days are occurring now. And I my personal belief is that as time goes on, we get to Labor Day, we get past Labor Day, and we go past that. You know, we got real tough things to deal with. And I know some of the schools have had their pre-in-service day. They're in service days where teachers come in and get ready for the year.
Yes.
Their agendas basically have changed a little bit because of all this stuff. What's going to happen? If this happens in your classroom, there's procedures set up. And there are factors. There's safety procedures set up all over the place. So it's not that much adjustment. I know.
It's good to hear. It's good to hear.
Well,
they're being prepared.
Yeah,
like,
I think the schools are basically prepared. I mean,
they're doing their best in any case.
Well, I hope so. My gosh, I hope. In this environment, I was there many decades ago, but I was there. You can't have blinders on. You cannot have blinders on. You have to be open to discussion. You have to be open to opinions.
That's right.
From many different sources. And you can't just say, this is the way it's going to be. It's going to have to be covered. You have to just involve people in a positive way. And failure to do that, you will have problems.
Well, and with this going on, too, it again tells us how important teaching really is.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's another example of students are bringing things into the school. They're going to be having these discussions. Who do you want at the head of that classroom to help guide these students?
Absolutely.
You want a person that's well-trained, well-paid, and qualified.
Yeah, well-paid and qualified, yes, and trained. That's really important. I have faith in the teachers and education systems in Pennsylvania. Again, Betsy, come on up to Pennsylvania. We invite you.
It's not that far, right?
No, it's not that far. I'll come down and drive you up if that's okay. So, but I mean, all kidding aside, we're ready. I think the schools are ready. I think they're ready for anything that comes down the pike. I just hope it's not too big. A disturbance in any of the school districts, it's just devastating. It's just can destroy. And then, of course, kids, people say, let's pull them out of here. We send our kids to private. That's not going to solve the problems of America.
You can't hide from it.
No.
You can't hide. Well, we do need to wrap up here. It's a final thought for us.
My final thought is get involved in your community. Stay positive. Talk. Communicate. And listen to the Union Edge.
Thank you. And listen to the Education Watchdog.
Absolutely. That's great. So, I want to again thank the ladies for feeding those dogs.
Very good. So we're here wrapping up the Education Watchdog here with Butch Santacola. Thanks, Butch, for coming into the studio here today. This is Nathan Ruggles here with you, filling in for Charles Showalter here on the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. Woo, 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 woo.